So this morning we have the privilege of having Pastor John Finkeldy. You know, I want to brag a bit about Pastor John Finkeldy. Last year he came and spoke in Wellard. And he said this, you know, and of all the messages that I heard last year, that was probably in the top five of 2020. Oh yeah, please. Pass the bucket around. He spoke a message, and one of the things that he said in his message, he says that big doors swing on small hinges. You know, big doors swing on small hinges. It's not the big things that you make. It is the small changes that you make in your life that will result in certain things coming through and happening for you. And I can surely say that from that day, you know, I have had at least 1,000-fold blessing from that message. And I say this not to brag, but to impress upon you how faithful God is. You know, just that message just unlocked something, and as a result, when we did an offering afterwards, it just released something in my life. But all I can say is that 1,000-fold, if it was a dollar that I sowed, it was 1,000-fold. And don't get impressed by the numbers. You know, don't get impressed by the numbers. But I'm just saying that big doors, they swing on small hinges. So please put your hands together for Pastor John.
Pastor Stephen, thank you. Great to be with you this morning. Catherine, can you stay there, please? Crank that music up. Just play louder. I'm going to pray for some people. Jared, you can join in as well. I just got the sense that the Lord wants to bless some people. Greg, could you come out here? I'd love to pray for you. Charlie, I'm going to pray for you in a minute, but you can come out whenever you're ready. But I'm going to pray for you. Come on, Catherine. Come on. Up, 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 up. Give me some sound. Give me some sound. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it. While you're sitting there this morning, I encourage you to certainly enjoy what the Lord does, but lean in. Don't just spectate. Lean in. God wants to speak to you today. God wants to minister to you today. This can be a moment for you, so feel free to keep your eyes open. Look, but lean in your spirit. Just pull the sound down a little bit. Thanks, Dan. Touch of God. There's a touch of God here this morning. Why don't we all close our eyes, reach out our hands towards the Lord. Just reach out your hands. Put them out as a cup. There's rain coming afresh on your family. You're going to see the Lord freshly moving. There's going to be a fresh move of the Holy Spirit on you and Carol and on all your family. It's going to be also a move of God in your business. Some things have been blocked, and I know the industry you're in. I understand the challenges at the moment in the industry, but some things have been blocked by demonic forces, and the Lord today is going to demolish them. The Lord is going to step in today and demolish where demons have come against you, against your family, against your business, against you. And you've tried different things. You've tried to go this way. You've tried to go that way. You've sought the Lord. You've cried out to the Lord. And the Lord is saying to you today, I am now bringing the answer. You will see a breaking out in a fresh way. Even in your own leadership and even in your own ministry, the Lord will begin to do things in a fresh way. You're going to find rain, the latter rain and the former rain are going to come down upon you in a new way. You're going to find at times the presence of the Lord so strong as you sit with Him, as you walk with Him. I see you walking down by the river, and I see you have a sense that God is right there walking alongside you. You're going to feel His presence and His power in a fresh way. Fresh oil for you in Jesus' name. Fresh oil for you in Jesus' name. Fresh oil for you. Can I pray for you? I don't know your name. Sorry, you were singing this morning. Can I pray for you? Could you come out here? Would you mind? Holy Spirit, do that work. What's your name? Suzanne. We have talked before. Let me pray for you. The Lord's going to give you a watch. He's giving you a big watch because He just wants you to read afresh the time and the season that you're in. You're in a significant season in God. And the Lord is going to give you a watch so you can tell the time, so you'll be able to look at your watch and go, I know exactly what the Lord is doing in my life right now. I know exactly what the Lord is doing in my family right now. Your family is in a particular season. The Lord wants you to understand what He's doing and how He's working. It is God who is acting. It is God who is moving. The Lord is doing things that you're not even aware of. And you're going to discover in the next few months, you're going to discover some surprises as you realize, as you look at the watch the Lord has given you. Because with this watch is a discernment of what the Lord is up to, of what the Lord is saying, of what the Lord is speaking, of how the Lord is moving. And it's going to cause you to pray in a different way, because you're going to have a discernment of the seasons and the times that you and your family are in. And you're going to pray in a different way, because you're going to pray with a clarity about what the Lord is endeavoring to achieve at this time. Father, I'm praying for a fresh spirit of intercession, fresh anointing of prayer upon Suzanne, in Jesus' name. The Lord says, plow again, keep plowing. It can get difficult sometimes. You feel like you're always on the plow and moving through the furrows and kind of getting everything in lined up and everything kind of ready for the seed to go in. But the Lord says, plow again. Now is not the time to take the hand off the plow, but buckle down, lean in. Again, go to another level, says the Lord, a prayer. Go to another level of seeking me. Go to another level of seeing breakthrough, for I will bring breakthrough afresh into your world. I will visit you again. I see you waking up in the night, Charlie. In fact, this is for a number of you here right now. I see a number of you awakening in the night and the Lord visiting you in your bed. I see the Lord just walking into your bedroom, just standing there alongside your bed, just to be there, to minister to you, to speak to you. A number of you, and we all wake up during the night, it's nothing unusual. But some of you are going to wake up and just be aware, the Lord's here. The Lord's here. While He is with us all the time, He doesn't manifest His presence demonstratively, dramatically, all the time. And there are a number of you are going to experience the Lord in the night season. And it'll be comforting. It'll actually bring strength. Life. It'll bring a fresh touch. You have many people to win to the Lord yet, Charlie. Many souls will come into the kingdom. You are nowhere near done. There are many souls yet to come. I see so many things this morning. This is not my usual forte in coming to churches, but I see a man coming into Port Kerr next year, very broken. He's in his 40s, and he's shattered. He's a man who's come from privilege, from a place of privilege, that comes in, he's broken. And you're going to lead that man to the Lord. He's going to be one of the crowns, one of the jewels in your crown of people you touch. And that man is just wanting to be rescued. You're going to be the guy. There are many more souls. I want you to stand up this morning if you have a desire to see people come to Christ. And I'm not talking just about, I'd like to see that, but you have running through you this passion to see people go under Jesus. I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up. You kind of got something that burns within you, something that bubbles away within you. I want you, where you stand, just to reach your hands out towards the Lord. Just reach your hands out towards the Lord. There's a fresh anointing to win souls, fresh anointing to win people to Christ, fresh anointing coming upon the church here at Fremantle and at Wellard, a fresh anointing to see souls come. See people won to Christ, fresh anointing to give you the right words, the right language, the right connections, the right invitations, the right ways, the right means. You're going to discover a way to work into people's lives in a way that wins them, that wins them to Jesus. Father, I'm praying right now, let there be, as you pour out this anointing afresh on Charlie, as you pour out this fresh spirit to win people, to win souls, pour it out on every soul standing right now. Lord, as they reach out for you, pour out a fresh anointing. Pour out a fresh anointing. Open the gates of heaven, Lord. Open the gates of heaven. Let there be a whole season, a fresh season of soul winning in this church. Fresh season of people coming to Christ. Fresh season of broken people coming into the house of God and having their lives transformed by the power of God, by the presence of God, by the anointing of God. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it in Jesus' name. Jesus. Jesus. Thanks, guys. You may be seated. Catherine, why don't you come down? I'm going to pray for you. Jared will keep playing for us. Hi, Jared. Good to see you. Fine young man. Let me come and pray for Catherine. Jesus. Jesus. Lord is going to elevate levels of wisdom within you. Yeah, I know your mum and dad, know your family in Adelaide, and really enjoy your dad. Done some work with your dad, enjoy his company, and so I know your family background. I know there's a deposit there from your mum and dad. Very strong inheritance and legacy from them, and faith and wisdom and wise counsel. And I see the Lord adding a stream of wisdom to you. A stream of wisdom to you. And in fact, I would exhort you, urge you to make a daily prayer. Lord, make me more wise. And you probably already prayed that prayer, but I'd say make it your prayer for 22. Make it your prayer for next year, because I see the Lord wanting to increase your wisdom, increase your ability to discern what to do, because wisdom... knowledge is knowing about stuff. Wisdom is knowing what to do in certain situations, what to say, when not to speak, when to speak, how to act, how to confront, how to sit back, how to hold yourself in various scenarios. The Lord wants to increase your wisdom because He wants to increase your authority. He wants to increase your influence, and He wants to increase your impact. And He's going to do it through wisdom. The hallmark of your life, Catherine, one of the hallmarks is going to be wisdom. You're going to be known as a woman of wisdom. Wisdom in Proverbs is called a woman. Sophia. She's wise. It's going to be a hallmark of your life, and it's going to open doors for you that you look back on and go, how on earth did I get into this room? How did I get with these people? There's going to be doors open that are significant, significant doors, because you know what to say and when to say it to the right people. Father, pour out anointing, an anointing of wisdom. If you need wisdom in a particular matter right now, you're not sure what to do, you're confused about a decision you've got to make, why don't you stand to your feet? I'm going to pray this for you. Thanks, Catherine. If you've got a decision you've got to make and you're not sure what to do, you feel like, I really need some godly wisdom, so I just want you to stand where you are. Fact God gives wisdom without upbraiding us, without telling us off. He says, oh, you want wisdom? Fabulous, let me give it to you. Father, I'm praying for these ones who are standing right now as they face a decision they're uncertain about. Lord, that you would give them the wisdom to make the right choice in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Pour out your wisdom. Pour out your wisdom. Give wisdom, Jesus. Give wisdom, Lord. Give wisdom. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Well, I've chewed up half my preaching time praying for people. How good is that? We get a short, who'd like a short sermon? You're all afraid to put your hands up, aren't you? Thank you, Catherine. Thanks, Jared. Thanks so much. Well, I'll do a little message for you. If you've got a Bible, come with me to Acts 9. If you don't have a Bible with you, it's okay. We'll put the scriptures up on the screen. Change is an interesting thing. You can do all sorts of things to change your life today. You can, you know, get a life coach. You can get a mindset coach. You can get a coach pretty well for anything these days. You can get a money coach. Want to lose some weight, join Weight Watchers or whatever the latest thing is out there about losing weight. And so whenever you want to change your life, there's a bundle of things that you can pull the lever on and act on. I want to show you, take you into a story in the scripture today and show you how God changes lives, how God moves into a person's life to shift them. And I want to take you to a well-known guy in the New Testament, a very stubborn go-getter, determined individual. We know him as the Apostle Paul. His Jewish name is Saul, so it can get a bit confusing. If you're new to the Bible, you kind of think, hey, this guy has a name change. It happens a little bit throughout the Bible. Simon becomes Peter. It goes on with Jacob becomes Israel. There's a number of name changes that go in the Bible. And Paul and Saul, you read those two names in the book of Acts, don't get confused. Saul is his Jewish name. Paul is his Roman name. So Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul, Paul, was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciple. You could say Saul was not very keen on Christians. I love this phrase, he breathing out murderous threats. It's kind of like, sounds like a dragon, doesn't it? He's kind of got fire coming out of his mouth. He hates the church. He hates Christians. He's overseen the martyrdom of Stephen back in chapter 7. He's persecuting the church. So he goes to the high priest. So Paul is not only a guy murderous against the church, he's a guy who's well-connected. He knows the high echelons of religious power in Jerusalem. He has access to the high priest, who's the top dog in the religious Jewish setting. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus. I want to travel up from Jerusalem to Damascus, and I want some letters of authority authorizing me to arrest these Christians, to see if he found any there who belonged to the way, who were believers, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. So he's a fanatic. He's out to get people. He's out. He doesn't care, men, women, children, whatever. He wants to put them in jail. He wants to see people persecuted for their faith. He's quite happy for Christians to be killed as he sets out on this journey. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, the Lord was really upset with him and ticked off and thought, I'm going to change things right now. That's actually not in the Bible. The Lord says, I've had enough of you. You're driving me a bit spare up here. You're opposing my church. I'm going to intervene. And I love the way that God changes a life. And there's some really good principles out of this, but also there's encouragement there. Don't be stubborn about obeying God. Be quick to obey God, because I think there's no doubt that the Lord had already been through his spirit convicting Paul. He was on the wrong track here. Convicting Paul that Jesus was the Messiah he was waiting for. I reckon the Lord had been on his case and Paul just stubbornly, determinedly said, no, Lord, not going down that way. It reminds me of my dad. My dad turned 96 last Monday week. 96. He's on death's door. He's under 50 kilos, he's in permanent care. Do you think he'll believe on the Lord yet? He is such a stubborn beggar. He just won't give his life to Jesus. No, that's all right for you, John. It's not for me. Diane will say to him, go and visit him. Say, look, can I pray for you, Dad? Yeah, you can pray for me. Do you want to know Jesus? No, I'm all right. It's good for you, but not for me. How stubborn can you get? Don't be stubborn like my old man. I'm still believing he'll have a dream one night and the Lord will scare the living hell out of him, literally. And he'll go, okay, Lord, I need you now. And then he'll probably die. Because my mum says to me, my mum's 95, says, I don't know why I'm still living. Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it, Mum? You're not a believer. The Lord's giving you time. But she's so stubborn. Don't be stubborn like that. Yield. Yield. Yield to the Lord. So the Lord says, I've had enough. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, he hears the literal voice of God. Oh, wow. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I love the fact that Jesus uses his name twice, just to make sure he's got his attention. I think he already has his attention, but Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I have the presence of mind to actually ask, you know, this supernatural voice, who are you? I'm Jesus. Uh-oh. Suddenly, Saul's not feeling so flash about going to Damascus. He's thinking about the letters in his back pocket. oh, this is not a good experience. I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. You're not just persecuting my church. You're persecuting me. And Jesus is taking this personally. It's my bride. He replied, now get up, go into the city. And I reckon the Lord would have said, get up like that. Get up. I don't think, would you mind standing up now, Paul? I think, get up. The Lord is just intervening here. Go into the city. You'll be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. This is crazy stuff. Imagine hearing God's voice, but you can't work out what actually has been articulated. But Saul can hear exactly what the Lord is saying. Saul got up from the ground, and when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind. He did not eat or drink anything. There's a few things here of how God brings change to a life. And the first one is supernatural encounter. One of the ways that God changes you and I is supernaturally meeting with us. You know, I don't mind if you get a life coach, a money coach, a mindset coach, go to Weight Watchers, do all those things to change your life. But one of the big ways you can have change in your life is to meet Jesus, again and again and have supernatural encounters. And I'm not talking about every week or even every month, but you and I need the intervention of God into our lives. This is what Paul happens to Paul when God just says, I've had enough of you going the direction. I'm just going to intervene in your life. I love it when God supernaturally intervenes. Today's a really big day in Pastor Phil Pringle's and Chris Pringle's life. Pastoring C3 Sydney Church over there on the East Coast for 40-plus years. And today is their last Sunday of being the senior pastors of their church. They're handing their church over and moving on to more movement stuff. And I remember when back in 2001 we were going to join C3. Our church, C3 Church Hepburn Heights, was an independent Pentecostal church back then, and we thought we should join a movement. We need to belong to a bigger family. We had 7 churches, including C3 Fremantle at the time, part of our little network of churches here in the West, and we looked at joining C3, and we checked it all out. We checked out the AOG. We checked out different movements. And one day, it was actually a daytime, I was having a nap. Naps are good things. I was having a nap, and I had a dream, and I rarely have dreams. Rarely dream at all. And rarely dream. I have sometimes weird dreams. Who has weird dreams? Occasionally, really occasionally, I have a supernatural dream. And I had a dream. Phil Pringle was in the dream. Phil and I were sitting together outside a stadium. Phil was sitting there and had his Bible open. And as he was talking to me, light was coming out of the Bible and coming right into my face. And light and truth and revelation were pouring out as Phil was talking to me and interacting with me over the scriptures. And at the same time, I looked at him, and he looked an utter mess. I mean, Phil doesn't look a mess. He always dresses immaculately. He's just a cool guy. But all his clothes were unironed and disheveled, and his hair was a mess. And I woke up, knew instantly what the dream meant, that we would join C3. It would be a really good thing for us. Light and truth and revelation and inspiration would come to us. But also, don't go into it thinking it's all going to be unicorns and fairies at the bottom of the garden. It's going to get messy at times, joining a movement and being part of a tribe of churches. And the last 20 years, that dream's proven to be true. And that dream was the way the Lord spoke to me and to our church of, yep, join this movement. There's a lot of things that we tick boxes on, but that supernatural dream, I love it when God just intervenes. If you haven't had a supernatural intervention of God this year, start asking for one. Say, Lord, I kind of been going along, been motoring along, doing what I'm meant to be doing, all good, no problems. But Lord, I would just like, boom, I'd like you to do something supernatural. I'd like you to intervene in my life. I'd like you to step into my world, do a miracle of some sort. It's a great way to finish the year with a miracle. I'd like a miracle to finish the year. I'd love a miracle, just God stepping in. Maybe it'd be a dream. Maybe it'd be an encounter with someone. Hopefully, you don't end up blind for 3 days. We don't want that happening to you. But God would intervene and begin to move into your world afresh. Begin to pray that. I love the second way that God changes Paul is not only through a supernatural intervention, but it's through his voice. The Lord speaks to him. He just doesn't knock him down the ground, put a real light around him, and then make him blind. He actually speaks to him, calls out to him, "Why do you persecute me? I am Jesus whom you persecute." He gives him instructions. "Now get up, go into the city. You'll be told what you must do." You and I, through the voice of God, can be changed by the Lord. And this is the voice of God, the Bible. The Bible. You can trust the Bible. You can lean into the Bible. God can speak to you through the scriptures. God can change your life. This book has changed my life. This book has changed my life. For nearly 50 years, I've been following the Lord. And as I've gotten into this book, the Lord's spoken to me through this book. It's hard to believe, but Di and I have been doing our Grow a Healthy Church ministry for 10 years. Next February, we pastored for 30 years at C3 Hepburn Heights. In fact, next February, Di and I celebrate 40 years of ministry. And we still look young and vibrant. Thank you. Bit of platinum hair up here. I'd call it grey. It's platinum. Platinum class. And we're moving on. But, every now and again, I think, Lord, 10 years since we handed our church over. Look what you've done. And I am a firm believer is that whenever you move into something new, get a hold of this book and devour it and allow God to speak to you. God is not mute. God has a voice. And I've never heard the literal voice of Jesus, not like Paul who had that. Man, I don't know if I want to hear the voice of the Lord literally until I get to heaven, because that wasn't a great experience in some ways, was it? Get up, get to the city, and by the way, you're blind for a few days. You cop that, young Harry. Kind of like, oh, man. But I love getting to the Bible, and when Di and I launched out with Grow a Healthy Church, I said to Di, we'll give it a go for 2 years. If it doesn't work, I'll go and get a job or do, I don't know what I'll do. I'll go and get a job. Who wants an ex-pastor after 30 years? I don't know where I get a job, but... But again, just as is my habit, I just hang around the Word of God. If you hang around the Word of God often enough, God will speak to you. Scripture will pop up. And I was reading Psalm 5 and verse 12, popped. And when I'm reading through, I'm reading through Leviticus at the moment. It's not the most exciting time of my Bible reading. So I jump in a bit of Hebrews just to lighten it up a little bit, because Leviticus can be a little bit blood and fat and lobes and kidneys and all sorts of interesting things. If you've never experienced the book of Leviticus, give it a go. It's quite fascinating, some aspects of it. But I'm reading through Psalm 5, verse 12, and verse 12 just bang. And when you're in the Word of God, as you plow through the Word of God, as you get into the Word of God, every now and again the Lord will go, pop. And you know what that is? That's God speaking. That's the Holy Spirit taking the Word of God and imparting it into your heart. And Psalm 5, verse 12 says, your favor is a shield. And so for 10 years now, I have prayed regularly, consistently, and often, your favor is our shield, Lord. And we know what I've done? I've turned the voice of God into a prayer back to him. When God gives you a word, when God speaks through the scriptures, this is why I'm such a fan of getting into a Bible, ruining your Bible. This Bible is a fairly new one, so I'm just started to write into it. I wrote the sermon into it today as well. I just love ruining Bibles, wrecking Bibles, writing on them everywhere, underlining, highlighting, doing all sorts of things, leaving little notes for my great-great-great-grandchildren who will read them one day and think, gee, great-great-great-grandpa John actually read the Bible. He's written little notes there. And I write notes to my kids and everything. Should write a note to you too, sweetheart, but you can probably die like I will and won't be reading my Bibles. I don't think you've got your own Bible. Get into the Bible. Ask God, speak to me. And that when God speaks to you, that voice, that word, turn it into a prayer. Your favor is our shield. And when I talk to people about the last 10 years and what the Lord has done in Grow a Healthy Church and our ministry, and it is way beyond any vision or dream. We are way beyond any vision or dream we had, to be honest. I say it's two things. It's the favor of God and the hard work of John and Di. If you want to do well in life, work hard and seek God for his favor. And that scripture, I just keep coming back to, your favor is a shield. The Lord can speak to you about your family out of the scriptures, and that can become your prayer. I have a prayer for my grandsons out of a scripture I read in Nehemiah. Nehemiah's brother, that he was a man of integrity who feared God more than most people. I read that scripture and went, wow, I've got four magnificent grandsons, brilliant grandsons, unbelievable. They're all geniuses. Of course they are. All our grandchildren are brilliant. And I pray this prayer for my four grandsons, that they be men of integrity and will fear God more than most. Turn the voice of God into a prayer. Turn it around. One last thing. Verse 7, the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. And I love this little phrase. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Charlie, can I borrow you for a minute? Would you mind? Can you just stand there? Close your eyes. The Lord has just struck you blind. Oh, no, he hasn't. Imagine this. Now, Paul is a man of power. He's a man of learning. He's a man of deep learning. You can see from his writings, he's a man of incredible capacity, incredible ability. He's connected with the high priest in Jerusalem. So we're not talking about some little kind of nitwit sort of bloke. He's not a plonker. You know, he's a guy who's really at a height of power in his life and a height of knowledge and influence. And the Lord says, cop this. There are consequences, Paul, to your actions. And I'm going to teach you that I can forgive you, but outcomes sometimes you can't stop. So what the Lord does is he says, blind. Now, if you're struck blind, there's one thing, is you're very hard getting to Damascus, but I love this little thought in Scripture. It says, they took him by the hand. So keep your eyes closed. Just trust me, Charlie. Trust me. Let me lead you. Took him by the hand. Can you imagine how many days he'd have to walk? Imagine doing this for a couple of days, walking into Damascus, someone holding your hand all the way. Here's the man of power with the letters to persecute and imprison Christians and just do whatever he wants to them. And he's, whoa, hello. And he doesn't have a clue where he's going. There are consequences to this. And he gets to Damascus and he's not just blind for one day. He's not just blind for two. You can imagine after a day of being blind, you think, is this going to change? Second day, is this going to change? Third day, is this going to change? It's not going to change. How's it feel, Charlie?
Weird.
And we've been doing it for 2 minutes. Thanks, mate. You can sit down. Thank you, Charlie. You're a good man. One of the ways that God changes us is that we suffer the consequences of our decisions. So the Lord will forgive any sin. You can go out in the street today and belt someone across the head, knock them out. And then you could say, Lord, I'm really sorry I did that. Forgive me. And the Lord will forgive you. Trust me, the WA justice system won't. They'll throw you in jail. There's a consequence to our decisions. And one of the ways the Lord does deal in our lives, because he is a father who loves us, he will allow sometimes consequences to come into our lives through poor choices that we've made. And that should be our learning. Sometimes when you run into a difficult time, a hard time, a good question to ask, and I kind of like and don't like doing this, but I say to the Lord, Lord, are you disciplining me? Is this the end result of some things that I'm doing or thinking or saying that really are not healthy and are not honouring to you? And allow the Lord to just go, yep, endure hardship as discipline from the Lord, and to allow consequences. And Di and I, you know, been in ministry for 40 years, we have seen so many people make terrible choices and suffer the consequences for years. And the Lord can forgive, absolutely. And the Lord can redeem, absolutely. But it's far better, I think, to actually go, Lord, I think I need to follow your ways rather than my ways. But allow God to utilize the consequences to talk to you, to speak to you, to shape you about your future as well. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for your ability to supernaturally intervene in our life. I thank you for your ability to speak to us. I thank thank you for your ability to step into our world as we go about the mundane day-to-day existence we have, that you can just suddenly cut across our path with a dream, with an encounter, with a miracle, through your word, through your spirit. And Lord, you can teach us how to walk with you. You can show us how to walk with you. I want to give you a challenge this morning to, in a fresh way, give yourself to the scriptures. In a fresh way, lean in to the Bible. It's a primary way that God has to minister to you. And these days, you can listen to the Bible. You don't even have to be a reader to get into the Bible today. You can be a listener. Just get that YouVersion app on your phone, and just every day, while you're on the train or on the bus or walking or driving in your car, you can switch the Bible on. Turn the radio off for a while. Turn Spotify off for a while and just listen to the Bible. Lean afresh into the scriptures. Give yourself afresh to the voice of God. Allow him to intervene into your life. Allow him to teach you his ways. Father, in Jesus' name, place a fresh hunger within us, I pray, for your word, for your presence. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks.
Please put your hands together for Pastor Jonathan Keldon. What I'd like us to do now is just to sing a song. Yeah, and then I'll just get up and then pray for everybody. And what we're also going to do is that we're going to take up a ministry offering for Pastor John. You know, and so if our ushers can prepare the... this is just a special love offering, you know, for Pastor John. And the fact that he's ministered to us this morning and really brought enlightenment to our hearts and left us with that challenge, you know, which is always a good challenge, you know, that we would experience, you know, the Lord anew as we begin to seek the God through the scriptures. So we're just going to sing through, and then the bucket is going to go around, and then I'm just going to pray.